are launching our discussion about American values this morning, and we're going to be talking about what are American values all week. But we're going to start with the idea of reinvention as a particularly American value, a particularly American invention.
I wonder about that, though. Didn't F. Scott Fitzgerald say there are no second acts in America?
He did. I'm not sure I agree with it. I mean, as brilliant as he was.
People come here to reinvent themselves, but once they get here, the danger is you can end up in a box.
But you know, the people always say the go west young man, the whole idea of the size of the country and how many people are here and the fact that many people were immigrants made it possible for you to pick up in New York, move to California, and be a completely different person by the time you got there. Move from Minnesota, perhaps, down to South Florida, and have a completely different life with nobody that knows you.
I wonder if that's as possible as it was during the Conestoga days.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. Joining us is one person who has reinvented to a certain extent. Kelly McKibben, good morning.
Good morning.
You were once a clerical worker, correct?
That's right.
And you sat at a desk and what, crunched numbers?
Pretty much. That was my job. I did whatever I needed to do, whether it be go to my boss's house and alphabetize his DVD collection or secretarial work.
So for the most part, it's a quiet, humble secretary. And then you completely changed over into an outgoing, gregarious, probably in some cases loud salesperson.
That's right. Due to the economy and whatnot, I lost my job, and I needed a job really bad. And really, being open was retail sales.
And
I had to very quickly get in there.
And you see this as a complete reinvention?
Yes, because I'm not naturally an outgoing person. I'm a really introverted kind of person. So getting in there talking to strangers and asking them to buy stuff from me was completely out of my nature.
But has it ended up changing your life in personal life also?
Definitely. I'm a lot more comfortable. I would never be able to do this beforehand.
Okay.
Never in a million years.
Okay, so reinvented as a radio guest. That's Kelly McKibben in Myrtle Beach. Also with us, we have Toby Miller, British, Australian, U.S. interdisciplinary social scientist, author of the book Makeover Nation, The United States of Reinvention, and teaches at University of California at Riverside. Good morning, Toby.
Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm wondering if you think that Kelly's story is what you would consider to be a typical American reinvention story.
Well, in one sense, yes, and congratulations to her for that reinvention, because it's very tough. Sometimes necessity is a mother, isn't it? And she managed to deal with the difficulty of unemployment and find a new way through. And I think certainly more and more Americans are learning that you need to retrain several times in your life to stay employed. It's certainly part of the myth of why people come here, as you and John were saying earlier. And it's certainly part of what's expected of you. But whether or not the capacity to reinvent yourself and get ahead economically is as real today as it was yesterday, I think, is really quite a question.
Oh, interesting. That the whole idea of coming to the United States and going from rags to riches and being a self-made millionaire, you question if that's possible.
Well, one of the ways we measure this, Celeste, is, as probably people know, to look at whether or not you can predict somebody's income once they're an adult based on what their father's income was when they were growing up. If you go back about 20 years ago, you could make that prediction with only about a fifth of the U.S. population. In other words, 20% of us had incomes that were more or less predictable given inflation based on what our fathers had made. Nowadays, 20 years on from that point, it's 40% of the public. And some data suggest it might even be 60% of the public, where you know what our incomes are based on what our parents were. That's quite shocking in terms of the idea that it's a meritocracy where you can make your own way and, as you say, move from rags to riches. It suggests that class mobility in this country has declined.
Well, Kelly, let me ask you about your own experience. Do you feel that you are more stable now financially? I mean, sales can be a very changeable field. Do you feel as though you're more stable, better off than your parents?
Definitely not. I'm actually living with them right now.
You're living with your parents.
But I was making a salary beforehand, a comfortable salary where I could be out on my own and whatnot, and now I'm non-commissioned sales. So.
All right. Well, to Toby, maybe you can settle the argument that you are referring to between John and myself. He was saying he wondered if the idea of moving to a new part of the country and completely becoming a new person, he wondered if that had went away with the 19th century. Has it?
I don't think so, although I understand what he's talking about. I mean, one of the things that's made the United States a fairly flexible economy in labor terms is that people are prepared to move. Think of the people who move right across the state or right across the country for college, for example. Quite unusual in world terms. And that mobility is you know, just as important in some ways as economic mobility. When you decide that you'll go off to a new part of the state or a new part of the country, you can, in some sense, become different from the person you were before. You can dye your hair and nobody really knows. You can dress differently and nobody really knows. And that's a form of reinvention. That's a form of makeover, too. That's terribly important. Now, one of the anxieties we have today is that for those people who own real estate, because of the mortgage crisis and because in particular of housing prices, say in Los Angeles where I live now, that sense of, well, things haven't gone too terrifically, but I'll pick up sticks and go somewhere else, is actually more limited. The idea of, okay, we've got employment problems in this state or in this city, let's pick up the family or pick up ourselves and take off. That's a problem when you owe much more on your mortgage than you could get back from selling your property. So that may, in fact, restrict that level of mobility for people, say, in their 40s and older. But there's still enormous mobility in the sense of people moving many times in their lives in order to try something new and different. And I think that will continue.
But, Toby, don't you think the United States is more uniform than it has been traditionally? I mean, Riverside, California is in some ways indistinguishable from a suburb of Tallahassee.
In some ways, John, I understand what you're saying. There can be some homogeneity. Of course, we in California like to think that as we go, so the country will follow. And while when you think about what I think of as both the pleasures and the difficulties of suburban life around the United States, you can see that there are all sorts of things in common between a Tallahassee and a Riverside, or between, you know, the outer circle of Los Angeles and the outer circle of Atlanta. There is a crushing homogeneity. And one of the things I find difficult, as you can tell, I wasn't exactly born in the Bronx or Tallahassee because I have that foreigner accent. One of the things I find difficult is that when you come to this country, you're told that it's a lay-down misère. You can be anything you want, and nothing matters from the past. And whilst that's true in terms of, say, government intervention to regulate your life, there's a crushing number of institutions in some ways that expect you to behave in certain ways, whether it's the obvious state ones, public ones, and so on, or it's the church you belong to, or the civil society body you're in. In other words, just being an individual actually doesn't cut it in the United States. In many ways, for all this is meant to be the beacon of individuality, it's the place where you have to conform and join and have a bumper sticker that says, I believe in this, or somehow or other you're a weird outlier.
Makes it difficult to reinvent. We'll have to leave it there. That's Toby Miller, and a social scientist, author of Makeover Nation, The United States of Reinvention, teaches at the University of California at Riverside. And Kelly McKibben joined us from Myrtle Beach. She reinvented herself from a quiet clerical worker to a salesperson. Thanks so much for joining us. And you can contribute to that conversation by going to thetakeaway.org.
Have you had to move back home like Kelly did? God, you can't beat the rent, that's for sure. Tomorrow, the value of the American family. We'll talk about that. Give us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Huckenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.